Good evening, everyone, and thank you for attending the recital this evening. My name is Steve Hollowitz, and I'm the music director here at St. James Westminster, so thank you for coming. We've enjoyed Alexander and Eliza's playing on many, many occasions. We're so lucky to have them add so much to our church services and special events. So this is our real feature tonight in the beautiful program of French music. There is no printed program, but the slides will be going through the recital. There are two plates on either entrance for a donation, should you wish, and that is all going to the performers. So you may have done that on the way in, or you can do that on the way out. And I'd suggest sitting as close as possible. Yeah, really. The blue chairs are really comfortable. But the stoic people here are sitting on the hard church pews. Thanks again for coming, everyone.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. This is the first movement of Bernard André's Chant d'Arrière-Saison, and there are together seven movements. There isn't too many repertoires for bassoon and harp, and Bernard André, who is a harpist, wrote this harp piece for cello or bassoon. So nowadays, there are lots of bassooners put this into their repertoire to have the harps together and play with the bassoon. So with this work, Chant d'Arrière-Saison, that means autumn. So there are seven of them in this piece. And we decide to put the Canadian group of seven artists to have the painting to go with each movement. So you will see each movement, there are some painting to go with it. Now, with this piece, there are lots of different texture that Bernard André applied for the harp. And you will have some technique that usually you hear the harp with this kind of sound. And he applied some of the sound effect, and sometimes we call that xylophone sound. So you hear it like that. So this is called a xylophone. And then come to the pinching sound. Instead of plucking the strings, we pinch it. So that produced the sound effect. And then there are some pedal glide. And throughout this whole work, he will use lots of this chord appear in many of his movements. And so the pedal glides like that.
Just in case you don't know, there are seven pedals behind the harps. So Eliza literally is pedaling behind. So can you do the pedal glide again?
Yeah. Okay. Now, for example, I play one note. And if I have a pedal glide, so I'm not going to play anymore. And I'll let the pedal does the work. So you'll hear some of the sound effect throughout the rest of the piece. So Chant d'André Saison, second movement.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We'll take a couple of seconds to set up with the piano and the bassoon. We'll put the harp away. So, John, if you want to move around the microphone, you're welcome to come. No? Okay, that's good. I've prepared a few notes on Galliard. We're going to play a sonata in A minor, and it's a sonata that's well known by our students at Western, which takes us back about three centuries to the vibrant music world of the 18th century London through the music of John Ernest Galliard, composer of the bassoon sonata. Although Galliard's name is not familiar today, he was a highly respected musician during his lifetime. Born in Germany around 1687, he received a thorough musical education before settling in England. And there he became an important figure in the musical life, working as a composer and oboist. Is there any well-known sonatas by Galliard for oboes? I bet there are. Have you played some? Not yet? Well, this is something to discover. We have some guests from Western's oboe studio, so this is great. He was also a contemporary and colleague of Georg Friedrich Händel, who dominated London musical scene during the first half of the 18th century. The sonata we hear tonight comes from a collection of six sonatas published in London in 1733. And remarkably, Galliard designated these works for either bassoon or violoncello, reflecting a period when instrument music was often adaptable to different performers and circumstances. In the early 18th century, the bassoon was most commonly heard as part of the basso continuo, so it was an accompanying instrument, and its solo repertoire was relatively rare. Composers such as Vivaldi and Galliard were among the first to demonstrate that the bassoon could sing with elegance, agility, and surprising emotional depth. So please enjoy Galliard's Bassoon Sonata No. 1. Thank you. Tonight's concerto takes us back to Salzburg in 1774, where an 18-year-old Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart composed what would become one of the most beloved works in the bassoon repertoire, the Concerto for Bassoon. By this time, Mozart was no longer simply a child prodigy. He had already traveled extensively, particularly in Italy, where he absorbed the elegance of Italian opera and developed rapidly as a composer. Yet, despite his growing reputation, he found himself back in Salzburg, employed by the court's Prince Archbishop Hieronymus Colloredo. He hated him. Salzburg was then an independent state within the Holy Roman Empire, ruled by the Prince Archbishop as both political and religious leader. Though small, he supported a fine court orchestra and a rich musical life. For Mozart, however, court employment increasingly felt restrictive. While his employer valued practicality and discipline, Mozart was beginning to seek greater artistic freedom. It was in this setting that he wrote the Bassoon Concerto. We do not know exactly for whom it was composed, but what is remarkable is the way Mozart treats the instrument. At a time when the bassoon was often confined into a supporting role, Mozart gave it a voice that is lyrical, elegant, witty, and expressive. Please enjoy the first movement of Mozart's Bassoon Concerto. Thank you. Pierre was born in 1863 in France and belonged to one of the most distinguished generations of French musicians. He studied at the Paris Conservatoire, where he won the prestigious Prix de Rome as a young composer, and highly respected as a gifted pianist, organist, conductor, and composer. In fact, he succeeded César Franck as organist at the famous Basilica of Sainte Clotilde in Paris, and later became one of France's leading conductors. The Solo de Concert was composed in 1898, during a period often referred to as the Belle Époque, a time of optimism, artistic innovation, and cultural flourishing in France. Paris was one of the artistic capitals of the world. Impressionist painters such as Monet and Renoir were transforming visual arts, while composers like Fauré, Debussy, and Ravel were creating a distinctly French musical language characterized by elegance, color, and refinement. The Solo de Concert was written for the Paris Conservatoire annual competition, known as the Concours. These competitions challenged students to demonstrate not only technical mastery, but also musical imagination and expressive depth, sometimes all within a few measures. Please enjoy Pierre Ney, the Solo de Concert. Many things to juggle around with. Henri Dutilleux composed Sarabande de Cortège in 1942 at the age of 26 during the early years of his career. Paris was under German occupation, a time when artistic activities continued but under censorship and strict ideological control. In this difficult climate, musicians sought artistic freedom through intimate forms of expression, and Sarabande de Cortège is a clear example of this. Sources suggest that throughout his life, Dutilleux drew inspiration from a wide range of artists, including painters such as Van Gogh and Kandinsky, writers and poets such as Baudelaire, and composers including Debussy, Ravel, and Stravinsky. However, no sources identifies Paul Dukas among Dutilleux's influence, but Eliza and I would like to challenge you. Listen to these few bars from the Cortège and see if they remind you of a certain well-known cartoon character brought to life later by Walt Disney. This is what comes to our ears. Did you recognize this? The Sorcerer's Apprentice. So we think that Dutilleux actually heard and loved The Sorcerer's Apprentice, and somehow a few of these ideas came into his music, that young guy of 26. So there's another story, a funny story about Dutilleux, and this is more personal. In 1985, Dutilleux visited the Geneva Conservatoire, where Eliza and I were studying. One of our bassoon friends, Spencer Phillips, who later came to London to serve as the first bassoon of Orchestra London and subsequently London Symphonia, almost had the opportunity to play Sarabande de Cortège for the visiting Dutilleux. Almost. And this is what Spencer Phillips says about his adventure with Dutilleux. Quote, "My recollection is that Henri Dutilleux came to the Conservatoire sometime in the spring of 1985. The Conservatoire proposed a concert consisting of students playing some of his pieces, and I, having played the Sarabande Cortège on a class recital not long before, was suggested by my bassoon professor, Roger Bernstengel, as a participant. Roger came to me a few days later, though, rather agitated and disappointed that Dutilleux had refused to allow the Sarabande Cortège to be played in his presence. He considered this relatively early piece to be a student work, lacking either the sophistication or the maturity of his later pieces. So, I sat and listened to the concert, hearing pieces that, to me, lacked the tunefulness and charm of the Sarabande Cortège. C'est la vie, I guess. So this is Sarabande Cortège by the young Dutilleux.
Thank you all for coming. Wish you a good rest of the day, of the weekend. Thank you.